Alan George Baxter married his sweetheart Edith in 1939, and then in no time at all was posted overseas with the 2nd Battalion Field Park Engineers. In 1941, while fighting in Greece, he received a shrapnel wound to the leg. After surgery, he was on board a ship bound for Crete when it came under attack.
And I remember lying on the stretcher. The German reconnaissance plane came over and stooged around for a while. Afterwards, we found out there were 28 of them. 28 German Stukas came over and had a go at the ship. Now, I was very lucky that I'd been loaded onto the top deck, but they had been loading wounded into the holds for at least a couple of days before. On this ship, there were also women and children, refugees. It was not a hospital ship. It wasn't a very big ship. It was the King of Greece's yacht, which he'd handed over to the Allies for transport between Greece and Egypt. It had already done a trip to Egypt, and the bows of her was loaded up with ammunition, big crowd of Germans. They really started a bomb, one after the other. And, of course, where it's very impressive, not only does the bomb make a screaming sound, but the Stuka itself. The noise is tremendous. It's a sort of a demoralising thing, you see. Part of the structure is blasted away. You can see all these poor people in this terrible raging fire. I waited until the bombing finished, and then I crawled to the side of the ship because my leg was paralysed, you see. I got to the side of the ship and heaved myself into the water. It was a fair drop, 20-odd feet. Swam along, trailing my bad leg. And swimming just ahead of me was another chap that had got off the ship. There was a British officer and two Tommies ran out onto the barge, and they threw a rope to this fellow that was ahead of me, and I can still remember Meek. I called out, "Wait for me." They did. They hoisted me up, and then they loaded me onto a fire tender. They took me to a Greek underground first aid station that was right near the docks. They didn't do much other than bandage my leg up then.
George was moved from hospital to hospital, and during this time, the Germans overran parts of the city. George was taken prisoner. Walking with the aid of a stick, along with the other POWs, he was put on board a tramp steamer in an Athens port for the voyage to Salonika. The men at times were cramped in the holds, subsisting on stale bread and tomatoes. The ship was old and the walls glistened with condensation. At Salonika barracks, conditions were worse. The bugs used to crawl around on the ceilings and at night drop onto the men. "We were all red, red raw, with bug bites," George recalled. George eventually was moved to a succession of camps in Poland, Czechoslovakia, and East Germany. Towards the end of the war, ahead of the Russian advance, he and the others endured a 600-kilometre march to a camp at Bad Orb in southeast Germany. Liberation came with the sound of American tanks crashing through barbed wire.
We heard the firing stop 1st of April, April Fool's Day of all days, 1945. The American tanks rolled up the hill, and in true American style, they didn't wait for any gates open or anything, they just crashed through the barbed wire. My first meal in freedom, it was a field ration of pork and beans and something else. And I'd no sooner got it down than I lost a lot. My stomach wouldn't take it because I'd been bad with the dysentery and lack of food.
The journey back to Australia was long and tortuous for George. He arrived home the week before his daughter's birthday on the 3rd of July, a daughter who was born while he was away.
But I don't mind admitting when we came under that Sydney Harbour Bridge, I had tears in my eyes. I couldn't help it. I never forget it.
George Baxter settled back into civilian life. He saved the historic King Cottage from the wrecking ball and helped refurbish a couple of rusting steam engines, the Leschenault Lady and the Kumbana Queen. In the 1970s, he rode at the head of the first Bunbury Anzac Day Parade, kitted out in the 10th Light Horse uniform. George died on the 17th of August 1999, aged 88. He is buried in the Bunbury General Cemetery.